time to go viral. I'm homicidal, I'm killing all my rivals. I'm the man, should I put that on the Bible? I Spotify my target, cause you know I got the title. Hey, I'm a Mac too. I told baby shake that ass like she Apple. She said it's real, so she got my name tattooed. House full, so I hit it in the back room. Baby said she need it now, peep the urgency. I want a little Kim before she had the surgery. Leg spread on that hardcore poster. She love twerking, she just do it for the coach. Big dog, bull master. Six tray Chevrolet, I'm classic. All these niggas mad at me, that's tragic. Your main bitch in the bed, that's graphic. Yeah, we about to go viral. Hey.
Was he wrong for interviewing Lil' Tim though?
I don't think so. I don't think he wrong. Just like I don't think Adam wrong for interviewing Blockstar. I mean
they gonna do it. They know we know why they doing it. They doing it for the content, for the money.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
People want to hear what
they
want to
hear it, man.
Yeah.
But people gonna call them vultures for doing it. Mm-hmm. So are they vultures because they going to?
They gonna call
them
and still watch it. And
they're still vultures though.
Yeah, that ain't the only reason that they vultures. We know why they vultures. Yeah, they that's how they gonna get in. But
because you know Blockstar did an interview with 16 shot him. Too, and you know, it didn't get the type of traction that it did with Adam, you know, with No Jumper, you know what I'm saying?
I think people is looking for the outrage these days. Like you said, if you go to a black platform, it didn't even get no motion because you just filled me in on that. I didn't even know we did it. Nobody really cared. But
if Cub would have got on there with like way more energy, way more arrogancy, I think his shit would have went more crazy.
Exactly. You know, he was trying to keep it. They really try to force it out of him.
Yeah,
you know?
He was too serious, just like on some street shit. But he didn't play the cameras how he could have.
You know what? There was a podcaster who mentioned that. I can't remember his name, but shout out to bro. He was saying that when they go to the white platforms, they give them everything. They give them the energy, the resilience. They more laid back. He like, shit, when I interview him, it's damn near like a fight. Like they come in damn near pressing. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. We supposed to be the culture. Y'all give me bullshit, one word responses, talking about, yeah, you the police or something, bro. Then you go over there to the other man and tell him everything.
Yeah. Asking you crazy ass questions.
Asking you police questions.
And it's deep because it's like the tap dancing thing. Like, that white man there, you got to put on a show for him. Like, that's some real deep rooted stuff.
And you know how crazy how deep it is? Because I be feeling like people think the white man is going to be that savior to pull you out the mud. A nigga get around that white person, then, and like you say, everybody act different.
Or they just don't respect the black man platform. That's what I believe.
Y'all can talk about the exact same topics, and this place will be looked at with, or, you know, a little bit more better than us just because of the color of the skin. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, like, that's how they feel.
It's just like Trap Lord Ross. A lot of the people who he asked to be a part of his documentaries didn't want to be a part of it because, one, they wanted to get paid, and he wasn't really giving them the chili like that. And, two, they like, oh, I don't want to vulture the culture. Then it's like, okay, well, who's supposed to come document this the way he's doing it? Because if you're from the streets, you're not going to do that. Yeah. You're not documenting it. You ain't going to hood the hood. So who else is going to be documenting this?
Besides the niggas.
And putting your hood in the limelight for whatever the reason. Whatever you say on the camera, that's up to you. He's just bringing the camera. So if you want to act a damn fool and say a bunch of dumbass shit that's going to make y'all put y'all in a bad light, that's up to you. But he's actually bringing the cameras in the platform. So I was confused. And as far as taking the money, that's tricky because, nigga, you not the hood, nigga. You just one nigga from the hood. It's a lot of niggas doing life. It's a lot of niggas put it all on the line before you even got down with the hood. So before you get a dollar, there's a lot of dollars you got to pass out to niggas. So that could be tricky.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, like, with the essays, like, when that money come in, that bag got to get distributed. Like, they're not tolerating this, you just ran off with the bag. It's a homie in Pelican Bay who need that on his books now, you know, so that's how their whole operation is really looking out. So, you know, that right there, you know, why ain't we operating like that on this side? You know
what
I'm saying?
But is that always a good thing? Because they taxing, they down there, they hire us, be down there getting more than the nigga that's putting shit in motion.
It's actually down there like the U.S. government. Like,
yeah. Yeah, like, nigga, what the fuck?
Wait a minute, you worked overtime? Yeah. I need a little more now.
I think the problem is I don't see too much wrong with it, because without that person, with these people, you saying like they owe you something for, I understand the set is everything, and I think pushing that person to the forefront should be the main thing. So when they do equivalate more money, now you can put it back into the hood versus just like, oh, I just need some of that. And that's what big niggas be like, fuck niggas.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So
I think them niggas were looking for a quick come up. Like, niggas just wanted, man, just give me some bread and that's it. Niggas really was on some fuck the homies shit, because you wasn't finna go get that shit to no homies or nothing. You wasn't probably finna put that on a nigga books or nothing. Like, let's be real, because niggas be vultures.
That was straight to the pocket. Niggas is vultures. We talking about culture vultures, but niggas be vultures. They own culture. It's fucked up, but it's what it is, man.
We can talk about it, because we trying to shift the narrative. Mm-hmm. And it's tough, bro, because even doing content made me realize something. I came in with a mission, right? Oh, we finna save the people. We finna get everybody together. And doing content made me realize there will never be world peace.
No.
There will never be world peace. Even amongst our own culture, it'll never happen. Because for that to happen, y'all would have to share the same perspectives. And that's damn near impossible. You could have a family. You got 5 siblings in the same house. When y'all grow up, y'all all going to have a different perspective and a different recollection of how y'all grew up in the same house.
True.
Yeah.
Even living the same experiences, you going to perceive it differently than me. Like, nah, it wasn't like that. Mom was mean as fuck. Like, nah, bro, you was just bad as hell. Nah, fuck that. She used to pick on me. Like, it's always going to be different. So imagine just 8 billion people trying to get on one accord. It's not happening, bro.
Yeah, and everybody's core beliefs, right? Like, how they was raised really is what... Because we might all have different perspectives, but we could all come in here maybe under the same core beliefs of hard work or whatever the case is. A lot of people in our culture, we just don't have the same core beliefs. So even if we had the differences, our underlying, what we've been cut from, is not the same. And so that's where you see the trouble too. It's like, we just, when it all comes, it's all said and done. A lot of niggas don't want to be fully together. They want to have their own and their own section, and that's how they want to do it.
See, but at the same time, because it's like if you ask somebody like, nobody will really tell you that they disloyal. If you ask any person, they'll just tell you, I'm the most loyalest person.
They're not
going
to volunteer that.
Yeah, I'm a snake, bro. I ain't going
to
lie.
Most people not going to reveal that. But the point I'm trying to make is that, like, this is why I say you got to cultivate the minds and do certain things, because things have to be spoken on to where it's a point where it's like, all right, these are our morals. This is our principles. We got to reevaluate that. And this is what we're going to stand on. And the people that agree with that and the people that break those laws got to be held accountable. Any laws that you break, something is going to happen, whether it's universal, whether nobody's bigger than the program, or just whatever you're doing in the streets. So I look at it in that sense, like you say, because I still got hope for my people. But then it's like, damn, you coming from a hopeless place. And it's like, ain't no, like you said, from the mindset, it's hard to not necessarily save you, but to the point where we knowing ourselves and we able to save ourselves. Because if I'm better in myself, you better in yourself, we're going to be better for each other in a sense. You know what I'm saying? Iron still got to sharpen iron at the end of the day.
Because even in y'all movement, I see beefs.
For sure. It's so crazy. I was talking to a brother on Saturday, man. We was out there teaching in Hollywood. And it's like, bro, like, this is like the streets all over sometimes, what we dealing with. And I'm like, I just don't get it. Like, we supposed to have elevated from that. And it's like, niggas is politicking, beefing, all kind of stuff. And I got to a point where, like, bro, I left that alone for a reason. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just finna be cool with everybody. Just fuck it. I'm cool with everybody. If somebody got a problem with me, then it'll be that. Other than that, I'm not tripping within the Israelite community. But a lot of it has to do with, like, niggas try to force niggas to be certain ways. And we have parameters that we operate within from the scriptures, but, like, it doesn't create robots, though. Like, we got rules and regulations we supposed to follow, but every nigga don't gotta be like me. Like, with certain organizations, Israelite organizations, if you look at them, all of them talk like they leader. Whoever the leader is, everybody sound like, it don't matter where they're from in the country, whatever, they sound exactly like whoever their leader is. You look at my organization, everybody sound like how they are. Don't nobody sound like me. Why? Because I encourage individuality. You see what I'm saying? Like, be you, we gonna operate like this. This is the guidelines that we operating under. Well, bro, be yourself. I want you to be yourself. We got brothers that like heavy metal in our organization. Cool, nigga, like heavy metal. That's cool. I don't care. We got niggas from gangs. We got niggas from every gang. All kind of opposition kids. I get out the damn car, niggas neighborhood hats on. I'm like, oh, cuz, what's going on? But it's good, though. I love you anyway. You know what I'm saying? It's good. I'm just playing. You know, we play, but you know, it's be who you are, whoever you are, whatever sports team you want to represent, whatever is your favorite color, whatever music you into. If certain niggas, they be anime. I look at anime niggas like, man, y'all niggas is nerds. That's cool. Ain't nothing wrong with being a nerd, though. I try to tell niggas, if I call you a nerd, it ain't to make fun of you, but you a nerd, though. You know what I'm saying? But it's good. Like, we got to let people be themselves. Because like we said, everybody got their own perspective. So everybody got to be themselves, but having them general guidelines to function within, that's really all we need. So, you know, nobody's wrong. Nobody's disrespected beyond a certain point, you know, things of that nature. And we can function a little bit more harmoniously, you know.
I feel like, too, people got to put their ego to the side, especially in our community, because you talking about your organization. You got the Nation of Islam. You had the Black Panthers. You had Dr. King's organization. And they all had kind of that same problems of you have people who want to be seen as the anointed one and the only one. So they're willing to take anybody or tear anybody down within the organization to say, hey, the way I run it is the way it's supposed to be ran, instead of putting your ego aside and being like, you know what? I'm okay with being D-Fish, right? Like, I'll get an assist. I'll go set the screen. I'm just trying to get the chip. I just want a championship. We just want to win. So we got to change our mindset to that. You got to be able to, you know, willing to maybe take the back seat and be a passenger to help get that car to the destination instead of trying to take it over and then you crash it all. You get what I'm saying?
That's a point I always make when I debate with Ruckus. I go, damn, y'all spend more time arguing trying to be the savior than actually doing the saving.
Yeah.
And I see that with any type of movement, period. It always comes down to that. It gets some traction. Then when it gets known, oh shit, I want to be the one known that I got us here. And then it just derails the whole fucking movement. And it's all about ego. That's just all it is. Death of the ego is the only way for a movement to strive, which I don't see it possible because humans are ran off ego, especially males. And we the leaders. So it's like, eventually we're going to have to prove who the biggest lion in this bitch.
See, but even when it come to that, that's like all of us being millionaires and we walk in the room, should nobody be able to tell if I got more money or you got more money? We walk in there, we all bosses. They won't really know who the boss is, even though coherently we all know who it is. You know what I'm saying? Regardless of whatever we agreed upon. So I think that is separated a lot in respect. You know what I'm saying? We quick to lead with disrespect for the most part, especially when it comes to our own people. You already on edge by the time you run into a nigga. You know what I'm saying? Most niggas like, what can I say? I'm boys in the hood. You just trying to show how hard you is. You like, shut up, fool. You been doing that too.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think a lot of that, and that's really just, like you said, a clash of the egos. But it's one thing I adopted like years ago now, and this makes me think of why I see certain things. It's just, I stopped seeing people, it might sound crazy, as just the human form. I see spirits when I see people. You know what I'm saying? So that energy or whatever, it tell me. So like you said, you could just be yourself, and a motherfucker might hate you for nothing, but it's because they spirit thrown off by, and the spirit could be thrown off by your good energy, and your spirit could throw me off because of your negative energy. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So even if we have those, it's like that shit has to be cut out. Like you say, when it comes to ego and how we move around as with each other.
It's like I like to say, the bravest thing, the most courageous thing you can do in this world is to be yourself unconditionally. Just real, raw, and uncut you. Like, so many people are living in disguise their whole life. And like you said, the spirit be off. Because when they see you be you, they hate you for being able to do that because they can't. Like, because you're an Israelite.
Yeah.
But I could relate to you because you remind me of us.
Exactly.
Like, we'll come up here and talk about serious topics, political topics, all type of topics. But we're not going to speak in a way that is robotic to where we're trying to sound smarter than we are. Like, nah, we're going to tell you real, raw, and uncut where a real human can relate to it. If you just a real person, you're going to be able to relate.
Exactly.
So when I hear you talk about y'all movements, like, okay, I can relate to that. You feel me? Even though I might not subscribe to it, but just you being you, I listen more than somebody who's, you know, robotic. Like, man, I don't want to hear that shit, man.
Exactly.
You know what
exactly.
I'm saying? So yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's just like what I like to do is show that more relatable side, because, you know, I see the robotics, you know, some people kind of serve it robotically, and it's like, even though I caught on to that, I can understand why another person wouldn't resonate with it. You see what I'm saying? But if I feel like, man, we got some amazing information that niggas need, well, how I got to give it to them? You know, in the scriptures, when Jesus said, he said, I call you to be fishers of men. So we supposed to catch men. How are we supposed to, I'm supposed to catch you if I don't got no bait you want. If I'm going fishing and the fish don't bite the bait, well, I need some new bait then. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of like how I look at it. Like, you know, if I'm not down to earth and relatable, how can I expect to spread the message, spread the light, give anybody any little piece that they gonna need, that they're gonna be able to adapt to their program to help them be better, you know? So, you know, I think a lot of people lose that. And I get criticized for that amongst the Israelite community. niggas like, oh, this nigga's still a gangbanger. This nigga's still this and that. And I'm like, bro, I ain't wrote on the wall, banged on nobody, nothing. Year. It's been years.
Right.
You know, these people don't even understand what that is, but just because I don't try to conceal what I come from, where I go get a put off. So I'm from where I'm from. I'm always going to be that. You know what I mean? I'm not going to go get put off. And people don't understand how much that made me who I am, though. That made me understand following and leading, being from a set. You see what I'm saying? Like, all of that. So it's like, I don't know. But to me, the criticizers, I don't even care. Because I know what I know what my job is, right? If I got boom and I read the scriptures and I understand what my job description is, I'm on my job. You niggas can be mad about it all you want. I know you can't tell me I'm really doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. You can tell me you don't like what I'm doing. You feel like it's not right, but you can't really show me it's wrong because it's effective. Because for you to say what you just said just proves what I'm doing is effective. And what they doing I'm not even going to say what they doing is ineffective, but they not reaching the same audience that I can reach because of the way they do it. You know what I'm saying?
Especially trying to get to the youth. You gotta be a lot more relatable to the youth. You feel me? And the youth, they got to see some of them in you.
Exactly.
Which is why I keep the way I am. I know how to code shift and walk in a room with an older crowd and be more business-minded and more professional than I be around y'all. It's like, no, I'm a let loose and, you know, I'm a react the way we react in our community.
Exactly.
And I feel like you're more relatable that way because a lot of niggas get in front of these cameras and they put on these auras and these, like, come on, cuz.
Yeah, as if they've never done
it. You're not really like that, gang. Like, let's cut it the fuck out, cuz. Like, you're trying to sound smarter than you is. Like, cut it out, bro.
No, I think transparency is important in a lot of these organizations. They come to you already as the finished product. And when you do that, you can maybe sometimes discourage people from joining. I feel like when you go on, you rub shoulders and you get in them neighborhoods and you talk to everybody, you look them in the eye and you really give them that energy, they feel more connected and they feel like, okay, if you can do it and you're down to earth and you have a certain style and, you know, way about yourself, then I can too. So I agree with, you got to be more open and you got to take people for who they are. Like, you don't have to force your beliefs right away. Like you said, you want to give them the bait. And then at that point, it's up to them if they agree or not, but you're never out there saying if, you know, X, Y, and Z, and if you don't do this, then you're wrong. You're just trying to hold your clean glass up to somebody's dirty one and kind of show them that comparison.
Mm-hmm. So. Exactly.
Now, that's a fact. And it's a question we got. Well, this was the number one question that I received that people wanted you to answer from the last time you was on. Okay. They go, hey, man, is he black or what is he? How the fuck is he? What he is? And because you half white, right?
Yeah, half white.
So that's what they wanted to know. How are you half white and an Israelite and like one of the leaders?
Okay. Well, yeah. So according to the Israelite doctrine, we base everything off, you know, Numbers 1 and 18 and Ezra 2:59. So essentially, the way somebody was reckoned as an Israelite or had citizenship as an Israelite was whether your father was an Israelite. So there's people throughout the scriptures who have mothers who was various other things outside of Israel. So essentially you are, we teach you are what your father is. And there's even scientific basis for that where, you know, essentially everything is passed down in the subconscious from their men to their offspring. You see what I'm saying? So to speak. So it don't really matter what soil you got planted in, whatever seed you are, that's what seed you're always going to be, you know? And like I said, we can recognize this just in life for the most part. Like, I know even being black and white, but having a black father and a white mother, like, me and people with, like, white fathers and black, that was always, like, strange to me. You know what I'm saying? I'm like,
it's a different upbringing if your pops is white. Yeah. It's a different upbringing.
It's definitely different. You know what I'm saying? So,
well, yeah, because
you know,
your mom is going to follow pops, the right? Pops. So exactly. If the pops is white, you're going to have them white ideologies for sure.
Exactly. And the average, like, sister, they go that way, you know, they trying to really assimilate into
what that is,
you know, the white culture more so. You know what I'm saying? So 9 times out of 10, the majority of people I know like that, there's a few exceptions. You know, you might get, you know, some poor white people in the hood or something like that. So then that experience might be different. But for the most part, and especially, you know, I'm from Washington, so up there it's so frequent. You know, on the West Coast, period, mixing is more, like, living in the South now, mixing is way less prevalent down there than it is on this side. But also, we got to look at our numbers. Our numbers are way lower here, so that has everything to do with it. But, you know, we all know a lot more mixed people, but especially where I come from, like, niggas stay knocking a white girl up. Like, that's just super duper regular.
Oh, what? Niggas trying to get an OC and get one of them Beckys. You know what I mean? Hell yeah. Mm. Playing the snow a little bit. Yeah. But yeah, that was really like blowing the DMs up. Like, man, who the fuck is this white boy? Like, how's he? I'm like, I'm telling you, bro might be hooded than you, gang. Like, yes. I'm going to ask him next time he come, though. Let him speak for himself because I don't want to speak for him. But
yeah, for sure. I appreciate
it.
It
was really curious about that.
Yeah, and some people are like, especially earlier on, like, that was a major talking point. Not so much now, but you know, that was a major talking point. And then, too, like, if when I really get into the history, like, my family history, like, everybody was revolutionary-minded in my family going back. Just, number one, being Haitian, but then, too, like, just very specific people that, you know, is, like, my aunts, like, my great-great-great-grandfather. Like, they always been on some revolutionary stuff. Like, I got articles in the paper, one of my great-grandfathers, beating a white boy down in the street. My grandpa stabbed a white boy in the street. You see what I'm saying? So that was like, my family always been on that.
It's already,
you know,
in your saying? DNA.
It's already in my, so I just came out like that. You know what I'm saying? And even my pops, even though he messed with white girls, he put that in me from when I was young, like, you know, real pro-black, anti-white ideals was always plugged into me from a baby. So to me, like, it wasn't never no question, especially like as common as it was, For mixed people where I'm from, like, we never, like, was like, oh, well, white, we half or we that. Yeah. We always, like, we black, and that's it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I tell people, you go to that county jail, man, your nigga ain't half and half a goddamn thing.
Right. Bro, you run with the blacks, you with the woods, you with the essays. Who you with?
That's it, you know? Those are the choices, you know?
No, that's no cap. How did your family take to the media when the whole Haitians eating wild animals, not wild animals, yeah, but eating people's pets.
Oh,
the cats.
My God.
Shit was going on.
Man, you know, it was, a lot of us laugh about it because that's an old trope that they used to say about us, that we, when we first start immigrating, like, that we eat cats. You know what I'm saying? So it was kind of like a joke, but then it was just like, damn, like, y'all really, like, putting that on us like that. So, you know, it was offensive, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I made a joke about it. I'm like, I posted a meme on my IG, like, me shooting 1,000% from the free throw line since Trump told the world Haitians eat cat. You know, they made light of it because it's like, it's a BS talking point. And, you know, like, I watched a video where somebody went to Springfield and they were interviewing, like, all these white people and they're like, yeah, the Haitians eat cats. Then they interviewed this black American, but he's like, man, they eating the cats, look. And then all the Haitians are just laughing. Every time they're like, man, God, I think I'm eating cat. Like, we got high-level cuisine, you know what I'm saying? Like, our food is really bomb. Like, I'm eating a feline, bro?
That's crazy.
That's insanity. Right. So, you know, and then it came out that one of the videos, like, the girl was mentally unstable.
Because that's the one I seen. I said, damn, they really is doing this?
I said, hold on, girl.
The only one I seen that was going viral, the nigga had it. I forgot he was, like, on the side of the street.
Yeah,
chewing on that motherfucker. You know?
Like, I said, hold on, girl.
I said, girl hungry.
These niggas out here tripping.
But I'm just like, shit.
Yeah, but even, you know, in Haiti, you know, the poverty is so bad. I wouldn't be surprised if anybody ate anything, you know, because a big cuisine that came out there was mud cakes, like the kids eating them, really making cake out of mud just because there's so lack of food. But when we hear, it's not like that. You know what I'm saying? The worst case scenario, they could run up in that store and steal something if they ain't got no money. Right. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, it was offensive, but it's just like, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Just another, you know, Trump talking point, which, you know, to me, Trump is entertaining. So, you know, I'll be listening to his stuff. He's highly entertaining. You know, but just propaganda.
You feel like more other people were more upset about it than Haitians themselves?
Maybe. You know, because we got a segment of the culture that's like over woke. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Right now, like where people are offended when it's not even offensive to them, but they're offended for other people who ain't even all that offended. Because you seen, like, if you go watch the interviews with the Haitians, they're like, hey, man, we came here to work. I came to Springfield because I heard there was jobs. And I'm here to work. And it's just that simple. You know what I'm saying? And I said, damn. I said, they moved 20,000 Haitians to Springfield. Springfield has a population of 60,000. I said, we're getting ready to fuck Springfield out. That's going to be a whole Haiti.
So that's why they're coming like that. That makes sense. The numbers are, because, you know, in a lot of those places, in America in general, white people are afraid of being the minority. So that when you say that, that makes sense.
Yeah, but are they afraid of being a minority, or are they afraid of the majority doing what their ancestors did to everybody else? I think that's what they're afraid of. Yeah. That's why they're trying to keep their numbers up. Like, wait a minute.
They think they get deeper than us.
They might try
But like you said, if they run with that perception, that's going to automatically make the other people alienate you to the point where they don't want you around them. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Because we both trying to defend ourselves from the other, in a way, if you think about it. That's how I'm looking at it.
But I don't view it that way, because I've never had a thought of, let's put white people in slavery type
never.
Shit. All my thoughts have been, hey, all these systemic roadblocks and all this shit our people got to deal with, let's put it into that. But I've never, we need to get back for the ass. Like, that was never a thought to me.
For the most of us, I don't think it is, but when you're on the side of the people who have done the oppression, the genocides, the poisoning medically with food, all that, your brain and your ideas have went all the way over here. So you would think your only natural thing is to think they would do it too, because you did. It's like when somebody be cheating and they like, you cheating, and you find out, oh, you was cheating. It's like you saying what you're saying because you're guilty of it. Yeah, so they automatically think we're going to do that because that's what they would do and that's what they've done.
Yeah, but they, I think they'd be more afraid, because there's no way that you could do so much towards our race without knowing. And that's my biggest thing. It's like a lot of us walk around here, you know what I mean, without confidence, without certain things, without knowing your own greatness. We always talk about that. But it's, you got to ask yourself, why are they going so hard? Like, even when the Panther shit came, all that shit that was going on around that time, they shut everything down to shut down the Panther operation. It's like, there's no way somebody could spend this many years and that much energy if you're not great. Or, you know what I'm saying? And like I say, this melanin worth more than gold, like we always talk about.
So do you believe they try to hide the history, because even a lot of black people do not know how vile racism really was? I'm talking about cutting babies live out of a pregnant mother's stomach in front of everybody, in front of their whole family, raping the fetus, stomping on the fetus's head in front of the family. Like, they were doing shit like that, but they won't tell you that part in school. Do y'all believe they hide it because they think it's going to invoke enrage in black people and just like, we just hit a switch and just go on a kill spree type shit?
To a certain degree, but I also think they hide it so that they can appear, or certain people can appear better than what they are, if that makes sense. So if I don't know the history of how you are as a people, then I can only judge you by what I see right now. So if I see you in the street and you got all these liberals that's white and they saying, you know, we're supporting blacks and Mexicans and everybody, then you might have the assumption that that's what it is. You might never look deeper. So I feel like the cover up is so that they can make history presently what it is, whatever they want it to be.
Yeah, and that's a great valid point, because I see it the same way. It's to the point, like you said, if I don't really know what you did and you didn't exist in that history, if we don't show you this and they're painting the picture that we are the worst, when it's really actually the opposite from going up what they done did to us. So I think that's the biggest key, is like, it's perception is reality. And they're in a position now, after all our work, to where it's like, nigga, we're the greater ascent. We're better than y'all. We got more money, we're in better positions. But knowing in reality, they know the truth.
Yeah, I think definitely it's partially the rock is to sleep, and then also partially not to invoke that rage, because there's certain of us that's going to look at this and be like, man, I remember the first time I heard about Gator Bait.
Yep.
I had broke down and cried. I said, what? Like, that, as much as I had already knew, to just hear that y'all did that, it was just like, wow. There's no bounds to how, like you said, how vile it really was, how truly animalistic, savage, you know, that it really was. And they want to hide from that. They don't want, you wouldn't want people to look at the uglier parts of your past. And then I say, you know, it's easy for a white person to be a liberal today. Mm-hmm. Because your ancestors laid down the work for you to be in a good position right now, to where y'all are straight. Y'all are like way ahead in the race. Mm-hmm. But if it was 100, 200 years ago, you'd be that same motherfucker, totally. You would be the exact same person that it took to get y'all and put y'all in this mm-hmm. position. That's what y'all ancestors did. They did what had to be done so you can live in Newport Beach, man. They did what had to be done, man.
Hey, and for y'all that don't know what Gator Bait is, they would take black babies and infants and throw them near the swamps and use them as literal bait to catch the gators. So literal babies, black babies were getting eaten by gators. They were using them as bait. Matter of fact, they used to put it on the post stamp and shit. Uh-huh. That's how I found out about it. Like, wait a minute, they was doing this and
making cartoons.
I'm like, damn, this is crazy. They never told us this in school. But to the white people, because I feel like we live rent-free in their heads. If you don't have Twitter, you won't know why I'm saying this. But if you have Twitter, anything black people do, you'll see 100 fake accounts. You know who's behind the accounts. Making all type of racist jokes, like, just all day long. I'm going, God damn, do we live rent-free in y'all head or something? Like, I don't even really be thinking about them until I get on Twitter. Then you see it, because they can say the N-word freely on there.
So yeah, it's good.
You just see that shit all
day
long.
They love that word.
Long, bro. They go crazy with... Some of the jokes be funny. I ain't gonna lie. I be laughing. I don't really be too offended, but it's wild how many people are still racist when they can do it in under the cover of anonymity, where they could just conceal their identity. Bro, they still out there heavily. Mm-hmm. They're not gonna do it on the streets. But I'm telling you, go on Twitter, X, you're going to see that shit heavy. Like, not much has changed. Not much has changed, bro. They just hide that shit now. And to the ones who say, well, we all ain't racist, I would say non-action is like agreeance. So if there's like this systemic type of wall that blocks us out of certain opportunities, if you're not trying to help to tear that down, in a sense, you agree with it because you benefit off it.
Exactly.
So that's how I view it. How y'all view it?
Yeah, it's similar. I remember, if y'all remember when Ahmaud Arbery got killed by the police in Atlanta, we was out there teaching and in the midst of the protest. And, you know, you had some of the black organizers were telling the white people, hey, y'all got to be a barrier between us and the police. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to. Like, if you want to be out here, it's the only way you can serve us. You have to stand between the blacks and the cops. You know what I'm saying? And that's just like that small example of, okay, you're not with that? All right, cool, prove it. Put your life on the line right now on behalf of us, because you know they ain't going to have no problem tear gassing us, doing whatever they got to do to us right now. So you need to go ahead and be that security wall between us and them. And that's that small example of, you got to literally stand directly in opposition to this if that's what you really own. If you're in a company and you know there's some racism going on in that company, hey, you need to be speaking up about that. You know what I'm saying? So definitely, I think that that's what they should do if they truly are not racist.
I agree. I think that action is louder than words. So if you are standing in front of the cops or standing between cops and black people, then that's showing it. If you're maybe condemning racist parents you may grew up with or friends or coworkers and things like that, that's the only way that you can really show. Wearing J's and listening to hip hop and shit like that is not, I just want people to, I'm saying that right now, because a lot of people will say, I got white friends and they like Travis Scott, blah, 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 so that means they like niggas. No, it don't. So all of that is to the side. It's really what you do in times of crisis for us that show us that you really are for us.
Yeah, I just see it. I try not to expect too much when it comes to that type of shit, because I know self-preservation is going to be the first thing. And if anything is going to affect them in a negative way, if they got to view it that way, they ain't never finna jump out of there. You know, we get a lot of different races that get out here and do these walks and all this other shit. But when it really comes to the groundwork of making something progress further, ain't too many jumping out the window for us. They ain't going to do that. So I don't even expect it. Go back to what you always say. At the end of the day, we got to do it ourselves. We ain't doing it ourselves. We can't expect nobody else to be jumping out and helping us. So,
no, that's true. That was one of the biggest takeaways I got from the election. Everybody's crying about, oh, well, this person don't fuck with us and that person don't fuck with us. It's like, I really don't care. We supposed to fuck with us. Why are you waiting on someone else to fix your community when we're supposed to be fixing it, bro? Like, I'm not waiting on the president.
That's why I like to point out the Asian community so much. You think they care who the president is?
Yeah. And that might be the only community I didn't see arguing over this.
They don't give a damn who the president is. They're going to put themselves on guarantee. Yep. You know, we used to get our t-shirts made by these Koreans. We still do. This Korean dude in San Diego. And man, bro, like, I remember he have his son in there, 8, 9 years old, showing him how to do it, letting him know, like, yeah, when I get ready to retire, this going to be you. You know, that's what they're focused on. They're focused on really building something for their family and putting themselves on. They're never looking for a politician to do it.
Yeah, that's very true. That's one community that we could say is tight-knit. And they do the groundwork, too, with their kids and instilling certain values and morals in them at a young age about work ethic and certain decisions that they make that keeps them really, I don't even think they have to worry about it because of that. And then you do have the, I want to point out the white minority thing that I feel like Asians have, which is, to a certain degree, I would say that white America, looks at them as the least threatening of all the minorities. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot to offer when it comes to business, education, economics, right there. Their communities thrive. So white people kind of, I don't want to say white people, but white American, the government, they leave them to themselves a lot of the times because of those things that they do help America with, even if they don't necessarily get called out for it.
I think one of our biggest problems too, as our people, is always the instant gratification shit. Cause like you said, they over there on their building, like, we know, like, even far as in our city, we got the East Side. We watched them transfer that whole thing to Cambodia Town. Mm-hmm. They didn't spend years the whole time they building. They got blocks and blocks now of them in every outlet. You go to the Chinese food places, they got the phone stores, they got the medical places, you know what I'm saying? They building their whole fucking community. Like, this is their world. They're not thinking about everything else. Like, we're going to make what's better for us right here and how we living and move all our people right here. So that's how I see it.
So with y'all movement, because I like to be solution-based, and I know y'all talk about solutions. What is the solution to fixing the mindset of the people? Because to do any of what he's talking about, you got to have a mindset to do it. Mm-hmm. When you talk to our culture, they shoot down every fucking idea. Every idea. These niggas are content with losing. Like, I seen somebody in the comments today. Somebody was like, how can we fix it? Nigga said, we can't. Nigga, we last, it's over. I said, God damn, bro.
And it's not. But,
nigga don't got a shot.
But what's crazy is that he's not wrong, because I understand why he got the mindset. Way. So I wouldn't say he right or wrong, but that mindset is the reason why we won't get past. That you can't see the forest past
we
the tree. Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, damn, bro, niggas ain't got a shot. Nigga, over, like, nah, it's over. We last and everything.
Nigga sick of it, really. That's like frustration and being fed up. Yeah,
fuck. Yeah.
And that's why I switched my mindset from trying to save everybody to let's just get the immediate circle. You think like me, you think like me. We may not agree on every single thing, but it's similar.
The overall goal is what matters. Yeah, we're going to have our breaking points, but we all know the overall goal is to get to the top of that mountain. As long as whatever road we got to take to get there, we're going to get there.
Right, so if I feel like we do that together as a collective, we did our part with saving the culture.
Exactly, and that's what I would say, because, you know, even from the scriptural basis, it says, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. So we understand that everybody's not coming where we're going. As much as we could want to save everybody, we know it's not realistic. So I know that if I can't get through to you, and sometimes, hey, maybe I can't get through to you, but the next brother can get through to you too. That happens as well. But you know, if there's a large segment of our people that they're just not gonna get down with the program, they're not gonna do what it takes. So the rest of us got to essentially be the saviors of everybody else, you know. And like you said, do our part with our, like, I call it a coalition of the willing. Who's willing? All right, well, we gonna go do it, and we gonna show. We not gonna wait on nobody to come and join the cause. We gonna start with each of us as a brick. Individually, that as a part of this building, and we're gonna get set in this building, and eventually it's gonna be a complete building at some point. That's, you know, how we basically look at it.
And I'm viewing it as, because you'll get called a sellout for building with other races. At this point, it's 2024, bro. Y'all gotta let that mindset go.
For sure.
You gotta let that mindset go, bro. Like bro said, view it as spirits, energies. I don't even see the color. If you got the same beliefs as me and you got good energy, I'm gonna fuck with you. I don't give a fuck what you is, because you might help me get to the top faster than somebody that look like me. Nigga might hate on me.
Yeah.
Like, this nigga think he better. Like, we get that a lot. You know what I'm saying? Yep. To the point where we can't even put our faces on our businesses because niggas won't support.
Yeah, no.
Crazy type shit like that.
It's funny. I know about a laundromat where it's like, as soon as everybody found out I was a black owner, like, everything went wrong with that. The machines just start breaking. Like, everything just went bad.
Sorry, put a hoax in there.
Give it a hex on the fucking laundromat.
But not building with other races. Like, people don't even some people in Israel, like, community, because, you know, they say like we're like inherently we have racist ideologies. But I explain to people, like, y'all don't even understand racism. Mm-hmm. That white man or that Asian man, that East Indian man, he racist too, but he's still gonna get some money with
he
you.
Gonna get some money.
But even with that mindset is stupid, because if you're working a 9-to-5, what you think you're doing?
You know who you working saying? For?
Exactly.
Don't like your ass.
Who you think you building with, or who you building for? Because you ain't even building for yourself at certain points. But it's like, in some way, in form or fashion, you're going to have to deal with it's impossible unless you're just way somewhere where it's nothing but your own kind. Because other than that, when you go buy food, you're going to buy it from a Mexican might serve you, a white man might run it, and a black, you might be the one buying it. So it don't really matter. You're going to have to mix worlds at some point.
It's inevitable, and it shouldn't be a problem. People just have this weird, unrealistic mentality. Like you, everybody got different. If you look at the planet Earth and different continents, countries, whatever. Okay, they got this resource over here. Then they got this. There's, we live in America where everything is in a package and given to us, but we're not understanding where all of this stuff comes from. So you got to get down. If the Chinese is producing the textiles, I got to get down with him if I want a T-shirt. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we talking about here? Chocolate comes from South America. If you're not dealing with the South Americans, where are you going to get your chocolate from?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So people not even looking at that okay, to hell with how I feel about you or your people or any of that. What can y'all do for me? What can I do for y'all? How can we come and have a common exchange, do good business, and then go back to our respective communities and bring that back to?
Right.
That's how we should be thinking. Not, I don't like, Koreans don't like black people. Mexican don't like black people don't like. Man, damn, who care who like who, man? We got to get shit done, period.
Exactly. And that's my biggest thing. We focus on too much who like you. Bro, who gives a fuck?
That ain't my business.
You got a common goal. It's going to get you some money to help your people. It's going to get me some money to help my people. Meet in the middle, get your money, go on about your business. I don't need to be liked. As long as I'm respected, that's all that matters. I don't give a fuck who like me or who don't.
You get a check and go to that check cashing place and you getting into it with a motherfucker up there. You ain't going to give a fuck. You going to make sure that check get cashed. You know what I'm saying? I don't give a fuck. I don't like your ass, but you finna cash my check. That's what it's going to be.
Bust me down now.
That's a fact. Man, I seen a tweet. Somebody said, why do black men love shoes so much? And this made me think, do we care more about status than power? When I look at every other race of man, it seems like their community is focused on getting power.
Well, you got to think about
it. We look like we just want to have the perception of wealth, but not actually attaining this.
But
shit.
I think that's a my bad. I'm gonna let you go real quick. I think for certain, I think depends on
the
mindset.
Get this shit off.
Nah, it ain't even getting it off because he was gonna speak. But it's the mindset. I think in their minds, the seed that's sprouted in there is that's their perception of power. I got jewelry, I got shoes, I'm fly. You know what I mean? And when I get around maybe women or something, they attract me. That might be a small ounce of power to them versus nigga, these motherfuckers is thinking world power or how I control a whole continent or a state. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's the difference of not dreaming big enough.
And I think it makes you feel, and it can make our culture feel relevant due to the lack of maybe resources or achievements that we have had in society in this day and age, where it's like, I got the newest shoes, I got the nicest car, I'm a good Christian, because all of these certain things that we were given from the jump in our culture, they took away economics and they gave us religion, right? They took away education, for instance, and they gave us monetary things and things of those nature to say, this is what you perceive or this is what you base your value off of, instead of other communities where it's like, my son is doing this and he's in this program in 10th grade or 9th grade, whatever the case is. Niggas in 10th grade is like, I got the newest J's on. You get what I'm saying? And that's what we base our power off of. But it also, it has to do with us, but it also has to do with what they took out of our communities from the jump and what they replaced it with. So again, when you make the rapper and the athletes and other people the most famous, and they are the ones driving the cars and on stage and going to elections and talking, who are you supposed to believe or model yourself after and assume power is? You get what I'm saying? Whereas in those communities, they might have the blue collar workers coming through, whatever it may be, right? Like their idols and what they idolize is completely different. But they also didn't go under the same attack as us.
But so, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's just that we've been stripped. Mm-hmm. And when you take a look at our history prior to, slavery, we come from status and power. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's an innate conflict with us from that stripping. I gotta get back to that. Like what I experienced when I was in fifth grade, my pops really started getting to a bag and he put us in Catholic school that year. And man, I'll never forget this. This white kid came up to me and asked me, how many houses does your family own? We're renting. We're renting. He's my family. You're one. My family owns two. And our captain said one. We don't own one. We're renting a house. You see what I'm saying? But that let me know at that point, what they value. I said, my dad got a Suburban with 22s. That's big
fire. Yeah.
In 2000, I got 22s. Niggas just start riding 22s right then. So I'm like, nigga, we got 20. I don't care about that. I remember Christmas that year. Niggas is like, what'd you get? I got an Xbox. What'd you get? I got a PlayStation. I got an Xbox and a PlayStation. So our values are different. I got the Xbox, the PlayStation 22s, but we don't own shit, though.
Everything we do buy depreciates in value. But the thing,
facts. And the things that we do own. I got a question. So what do y'all feel like y'all define as true power?
Ownership. I say ownership. We don't own shit.
Ownership and ability to do what you want to do, right?
What you think?
I think it's a combination of things. Ownership is a part of it. Whatever you can control and wield to leverage, whatever, because if we take a look at like when the Asians got the Asian Hate Bill passed, what were they leveraged power enough to be able to say, hey, we're being attacked. We don't like that shit no more. Y'all gonna have to do something about this. They got certain power. They're in control of certain resources, certain supply chains, things like that. So I would say it would be like that. Being able to control things enough to leverage them with other people in order to get things done for us.
I think controlling our community as well. Yeah. Controlling our race. Because every other race, they control their shit. Mm-hmm. Look at the Jews. You can't even say nothing about the Jews.
This is my point I'm trying to get at is that I feel like it's different forms of true power. And like we say, because, you know, some people feel like they got power by force, by being more violent, or you controlling that way, or you got power from owning things. But then I think of people like Gandhi. He didn't own shit.
Yeah.
But he had maybe a whole motherfucking millions of people that'll follow and do anything he tell them to do. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like in my mind, in that sense, that's real power, where you don't have to make nobody do nothing. They're willing to be at your command about anything, even though he was just a peaceful person. You know what I'm saying? He didn't own shit, didn't care about material shit or none of that. I don't even think he was even rich, but he was rich in his own true power of being himself. So I think that's a strong form in my mind.
No, that was facts. What you said too about how they got the Asian Hate Bill stopped, it was because, and I do agree with that about power, because without them being the force that they are in America and in their communities, they really don't have anything to leverage for America to be like, oh shit, like we have to do something for these people. Whereas in us, you know, obviously it's a more nuanced conversation, but what do we offer to be able to say, hey, if y'all don't do this for us, we cutting this off, or we not doing this, or we not sending our kids to this school, you know what I mean? Or we not banking with y'all because we got our bank down the street or whatever. We can't really leverage anything because we don't necessarily have anything to leverage.
I think our biggest asset is the ability to entertain, but that's not really anything to leverage. It's like, man, I can just get somebody else to come entertain, bro. Right. Like, I go get somebody else.
And they're doing it because you see them integrating a lot of like Nigerians and stuff like that. And you know, people, of course, they can look the same, but their values and their allegiance is totally different than ours, you know, as being victims of the slave trade. Our whole concept on things, I remember, man, we was teaching at Juneteenth in Atlanta, and a brother was teaching, and an African brother walked by, and he was like, the brother told him Black power, and the African looked at him like, nah.
Fuck you mean, brother?
Speak for your goddamn self. And it's crazy, because over the summer, it's a club I go to in Atlanta, man, the Nigerians run it, and they got really the whole club scene in Atlanta sold up for real. And but it was Ethiopian week out there. Mm. And you know, these are two different groups of Africans. So they was letting the Ethiopians come in and do after hours, like every night, 4 to 7, crazy at the club. So I get in there one day, and the Nigerian dude, we bang the Ethiopians over the head, like, boom. He like, oh yeah, I'm gonna charge them, but he just let me in. Cool, boom. And I just broke bread with the Nigerians because I know them. One night I don't got the plug. I can't call him. So I come in and they bang me over the head. I go in there, I'm like, he's like, man, fuck them niggas. You know what I'm saying? But they're going to get money with each other. But they look at, you know, their concept is not we all African or we all Black or none of that. Nigga, we're Nigerians. We're the specific tribes, even the Nigerians.
Yeah.
And they on the whole other side. We don't even really like them dudes for real. But, you know, we going to get our money with them. So, you know, but they're integrating them a lot into entertainment now. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So now they could come and be the niggas, and the niggas could just get, we could just get the niggas out the door.
He not wrong. You got Kai Sinai, you got Phantom, that whole Amp crew. They
call them Tethers.
Yeah, and then you got DJ Academics. Shout out to him, but he's not of Black American descent. You have a lot of people who are popping right now in the entertainment industry that are not Black American.
Because all they need to see is the color.
That's it.
They don't need nothing.
And they put them at the top of the forefront to where we don't have no say-so in our own code. Like, nigga, we created hip-hop. But then you look at the hip-hop outlets, who's number one? It ain't nobody from America.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Traditionally.
And people have to understand that the value system, even the Caribbean, about all these different things. Like, even I'm Caribbean, but I was more so raised Black American with only Black American. That's what I grew up with. I knew I was a little bit different. I had a different culture, but that's all I grew up with. You see what I'm saying? But I know a lot of people who are, because my pops ain't from the Caribbean, though. This is going back. So a lot of people who are coming with their parents, you know, more recent immigrants and things like that, the value system is different. And the teaching is different of, you know, sometimes people get anti-Black American indoctrination. I didn't get, my pops told me, nigga, everybody Black, nigga. That's just, it don't matter. You know, so that's my mentality. But that ain't everybody mentality coming. Facts. You know, and then, of course, you have white people that want to incentivize that behavior. Mm-hmm. They want to make sure, let's go ahead and stack the deck against the Black American because, well, who has the most potential for power here? Mm-hmm. This is who has the most numbers. You know, this is who's been here the most historically, has the most roots here. So we have to alienate them as much as possible. Mm-hmm. So let's incentivize everybody else. Let's put them up there in blackface. To be the entertainment, to play the role of the Black American. It's really crazy what's going on if you're paying attention.
Right. That is wild, because now that I'm really sitting back and thinking about it, every asset of the entertainment, from podcasting to streaming to... You're right. It is somebody that's not from here.
It's a lot of them.
Right. And they all be speaking bad about niggas.
But even on top of that, you think of people like, even actors, like, what's his name? Idris Elba. Stuff like that.
Idris, all niggas.
But what I mean is the way they can, the voice changing. Mm. You know what I'm saying? To the point where they can blend it the way they need it to blend, or they can do whatever they do.
We can't tell the difference.
I thought Franklin was really Franklin. I'm like,
hold on, what the fuck, nigga?
You think it's from London?
You eat too much savage ass, nigga?
You eating crumpets, nigga? Like, what the hell going on?
God, that's crazy work. So with that said, what's your thoughts on the mass immigration policy that Trump is trying to ensue?
My stance on immigration is, I can't be behind...
Or the mass deportation.
Yeah, the mass... I can't be behind their immigration policies based off the simple fact that you stole the land, you stole the lake, all this is stolen. So y'all got nerve coming to trying to regulate it now, right? Even my family immigrated here illegally, right, to get here. But the but to that is, I think there's agendas behind it, personally. I really think this has a lot to do with them anticipating a potential third world war. Mm. That's what I think. And a study came out earlier this year that deemed the average American unfit to be drafted if there was a draft. So, and then they came out with a bill that's saying that these undocumented immigrants are now eligible to be drafted. Mm. So now this is a great way to fill your army with soldiers, people who come from countries that are already used and prone to violence, things of that nature, sign these niggas up. My American citizens are soft and overweight. I can't use them. Let me get these Venezuelans, these Haitians, these Mexicans, these El Salvadorians that come up killing each other anyway. Let's put their ass in camouflage and send their ass off into a war. Personally, that's really what I think is going on.
Mm. Do you believe they're going to be willing to fight for the country, though?
Yeah.
If it's for, if you and your family are going to get citizenship, I believe they're going to do it.
I also want to say this, too, that citizenship. What he's saying has a, you know, because you see a lot of people who migrate over here and they become more patriotic than the motherfuckers who live here. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, I think when people come over here, they know how Americans view maybe Blacks or whoever it is, and they want to disassociate from that as much as possible. So the way to do that is to be American as you can. So I could definitely see people being like, I'll fight for my country or this country, even if it's not mine, because a lot of people who come from other places, they don't necessarily have, they only know what, you get what I'm saying, what we show them. They don't understand. So they look at white as right, Black and everybody else is, they want to get on this side. That's why a lot of people get over here and they assimilate and they do the things, the same oppressive things that were done to us because of that.
I just think, I'm going to tell you just real quick on a micro level. Y'all got insanes all over the country. You might have a homie that's an out-of-state insane that's more about it and believes in the cause more than the nigga that grew up on 21st, on 23rd. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
For sure. Because he chose to say, I'm going to represent this street in Long Beach. So to him, it actually means more. Nigga might have 20 whacked out on his face. Never, ever seen a rolling 20 in his whole life.
Right.
But that's how much he believes in that cause. Because I've seen that with various different gangs where you see the zeal of the out-of-town homies. Worse, the homies that's really from the set is backstabbing each other, don't really care. You know what? I don't really even fuck with them niggas like that. Mm-hmm. I just grew up over there. it's the same exact thing, just on a macro level, where now it's like, hey, I'm coming, I want to be from America. Like, this is why I'm going to fight for this American cause, and whoever America don't like, that's who I don't like. It's the same thing.
That's bars on God, because it really be like that, for sure. It really be like that.
Yeah, because we didn't have talks with homies in different places, and like you say, the mindset that they had was similar to, they didn't understand a lot of the snake shit, all that shit that go on either, or it didn't make no sense. But to go back to what you were saying, I agree to the point where, like you said, for citizenship and shit like that, it's tipping the scale. You know what I'm saying? What make more sense? Me go back over here where it's nothing, or let me go fight and try to survive that and make sure all my people straight. So
they really fighting for the opportunities. Like,
yeah,
I'm not
exactly.
Going back
they come out here, you get a taste. That's like you.
We ain't got shit out here.
That's like you become a millionaire today, or somebody make you a millionaire, and you appreciate the mansions, you doing everything else, and then he sends you back to the trenches. Like, if you don't go handle something like this shit is over.
It's over with.
Who I gotta whack, nigga?
Exactly. Yeah, this shit is over with.
Give me some guns. Who I gotta whack?
Most point, 9 times out of 10, niggas is gonna crash for that.
I will agree that the border has gotten too relaxed, though. That's the one thing that I will say. It's gotten too relaxed. I think that, you know, when we talk about the situations in New York, and, you know, that contributes to why the Democrats lost, because for 2 years now, New Yorkers were telling, you know, their city officials, hey, we're having a problem here. You get a real problem in California, too. And we have continued to ignore that. So I feel like I'm okay with maybe cutting it off now, but anybody who's over here, you over here. That's how I feel personally.
I don't know, man. I kind of agree with get them up out of here and let's reset and come the right way. Because even to think about stolen land, right? I think about that. Land was here before we were. So whoever was here first, if I come and wipe you out, nigga, this my land now. Fuck you mean. It's just like hustling on the block. That's your block. Guess what? We came, wiped you out. This is our block now. So what is really stolen land?
So what,
is whoever's strong enough to keep
the
hold of the land.
But even I like the Joe point, because you just sparked my mind with that anyway, because a lot of that stuff that we built. So it's like, who are y'all to really say, this is, yeah, it's your land that was already here, but half the shit here, none of y'all really didn't. Y'all didn't build this from the soil and from the ground up. So if that's the case, people shouldn't be mad at the Venezuelans for taking over apartments and shit. Because it ain't no fucking different. It's just on a smaller scale.
Apartments, yeah,
exactly. Yeah, but nigga, see, we took over. Niggas,
that's what I'm saying.
Why y'all mad at us? Yeah. Y'all want to get us out of here for doing the same shit that we learned from y'all? Y'all taught us how to do this shit. So
what is stolen land, though? Yeah. If we come over here, nigga, drag our nuts and run you out, this is our land now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't.
So we saying it's our land. Why we ain't dragging our nuts to get it back?
And what's so cold about that is, even in the Bible, the Israelites, how the Israelites got Israel was killing and stealing them from the Canaanites, knocking them down, wiping them out. God said, hey, these people ain't right, man. Go ahead, get that up off them. You know what I'm saying? And that's the whole narrative. So I can't disagree with that point, because that's the foundation of being an Israelite in itself, knocking somebody down and taking that shit.
Bro, I even look at animals in the wild, bro. Dogs piss on tree. Nigga, this is my area.
So why
the bigger dog come, run that dog off, and he piss on the tree, it's his area now.
So why do, then if that's the case, then why do people despise criminals so much? Because they feel like that's how they feel when they're in their neighborhoods, or whenever they doing what they doing. They doing the same thing that America has done for years.
Because,
you know what I'm saying?
America's.
I mean, that's programming, though.
America, I know. I'm just saying the way we viewing it. We might as well get a 24-hour purge. we might as well get one of them every year.
Hey, Trump low-key threw like something out there like that. And niggas like, he's talking about a purge. I'm just saying, though, if you going to work, paying taxes, you're doing everything the right way, and then somebody come and do what they said was wrong and jump you, now you mad. So it's like, nigga, you doing wrong. I did everything right, and you're excelling past me. It's like you see the memes of the niggas like, I'm at work watching my unemployed homies in Miami, like on the yachts, the scammers and shit. Like, right. Man, fuck these niggas. Yeah. That's how niggas be feeling. So it's like, well, shit, I'm doing it the right way, and I'm not even benefiting as much as you doing it the wrong way.
So
Fuck you.
Are you really doing it the right way?
Nah. Right or wrong is perspective.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nah, that's what I'm just saying. Yeah, I'm just saying the same shit you said.
Nah, because I know that's one of our biggest arguments is, hey, this is our land. We was indigenous, and I agree. We were here first. I agree.
It ain't our land no more if they took it.
If they took it and you gave it up, nigga, it's not your land no more.
I just look at it as like the government they have these blanket statements or blanket policies that there's gray areas for people to be mistreated. And so I feel like with the mass deportation thing, that's where that gray area comes in for people to be mistreated in the process of that happening. And that's what I disagree with.
And what has to be addressed also, and I think Trump kind of spoke to it a little bit. I don't know if it was Trump. I think I was watching Joe Rogan. I don't know if it was Trump was speaking to like some Trump supporters, but a lot of companies are relying upon that work that is done, that they can pay them that lower wage. They're very reliant. Like I say, this place was founded on slavery, free labor. So they're trying to get as close to free as they possibly. How close can I get to free? So they exploit that. Hey, you're illegal. I don't have to pay you as a citizen. Here's $5 an hour. Take it. You see what I'm saying? And you know them, they going to take it because it's better than whatever I was getting.
I made that point the last. That's why I was for the deportation, because it's taking jobs away.
But you're right, because I remember I met somebody and we was working and they had like credentials. You know what I'm saying? So say they supposed to be making $35 an hour. They bring in a paisa that taught them how to do the same thing, but he only getting 17. They end up getting him up out of there.
Yeah, got you. Yeah, just half
your job gone. And you're going to go crazy for it.
It's been real estate agents coming out saying that, hey, you know, if they do actually apply this mass deportation, the housing market is going to free up. There's going to be a lot of houses available to the people here, and the prices are going to have to drop now. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of them got those programs. They didn't really just earn it. It's like, okay, no down payment. Here go 40, 50 band. We gonna put down or put you in the house. You know what I'm saying? Just to really lock Americans out. So like you said, hey, you want to keep this house? Hey, take this gun, go to war. So now it's all starting to make sense. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm like, look, good or bad, you could be good, you could be bad. I don't know. I'm American. Yeah. Get your ass over there, file your paperwork, come back the right way, then we ain't got nothing to say. Because right now, if my people is fucked for you being here, nigga, you gotta go.
Me over you.
Fuck you mean. Self-preservation is first.
Self-preservation.
Shout out to the immigrants, shout out to everybody, but I can't go to your country and get a house while your people on the street. Y'all, when I get this American the fuck up out of here, niggas get you out of there quick. But, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't really say nothing about that, because when you put it that way, it's self-preservation.
Don't change up now, nigga.
I can't dispute that.
He was big standing on business the other day, nigga. Don't change up now, nigga.
My point still stands.
Yeah, I ain't trying to hear that shit. I low-key's going to get on your ass about that.
This is the thing, though. My point still stands that I don't agree with mass deportation, but I understand your point in that it's me over you. You get what I'm saying? I'm not saying that I'm walking my point back on disagreeing with mass deportation. I'm just saying, when you put it that way, I can't disagree with that point. I can't disagree with niggas wanting it to be mass deport.
I can't
agree with it.
I want people to understand something. It is okay if you learn new information to change your mindset. this is for anybody. Because a lot of times, this ain't just no shot to you. This goes on for a lot of us. We learn things and they be like, well, my mama taught me this, my daddy taught me this. Mm-hmm. Then it kind of find out years later, now that was wrong, bro. Like, that's why I said, even when he said what he said, like, nah, you just re-sparked my mind to look at it different. Mm-hmm. It is okay. You know what I mean? That's how you learn and grow. We here to evolve.
I was just talking about this last night when we was in Santa Monica. We was talking about it, like, a brother asked me, he's like, you know, how do you, like, some people, when we're coming at them and telling them, like, hey, bro, everything you thought you knew, it was wrong. Some people are so offended by that, you know, like, damn, like, but it did so much for me, or it helped me through this or that. Mm-hmm. And I was explaining to them, like, you know, you got to kind of, before you even get there, you got to gauge a person and see where they are and see if they're taking their belief so serious to where, okay, instead of putting it to them like, everything you learned was BS. Well, have you ever seen this? You know, you gotta kind of change your methodology.
Nah, you're right.
Because some people are so afraid to just be like, but no, this can't be wrong.
The difference is because when we believe things, we attach those beliefs to who we are.
Exactly.
So now it's like, you saying, fuck me. You ain't saying, fuck the belief.
You're taking it personal.
Yeah, exactly.
But I also think, like, you guys come in here and say all the time, what's right and wrong? We just had the same concept or same talk last episode. What is right and wrong? It just depends on a person. So if you believe something is right and maybe you don't, then I mean, what's to say that it's
I know if I touch the stove and my hand get burnt up, it's wrong. But you know what I'm saying? But you can still view it how you want to. You can still view it and be like, nah, this is right, and burn yourself up.
I just feel like certain situations aren't black and white, right and wrong.
I don't think
mass deportation is one of those things. Like, it's a nuanced conversation that is not just black, white, you go here, because all that gray areas. we're not going to see it until it actually takes place. And then it'll be a different conversation.
There's so many people affected, and we're not understanding exactly how, you know, if it tore this family up or whatever.
Or how they view it.
Well, like this is what bro said. Like, we ain't tearing up no families because we deporting the whole family.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
the whole family
he said, all y'all getting the fuck up out of here. Y'all going to be one big family.
But what's crazy is, as upset with people are as Trump, Obama had the most deportations. Yeah.
Bro, he had them kids in the cages.
He had them kids in the cages.
Nobody ended, said nothing.
He ended wet foot, dry foot for Cubans and Haitians. Mm-hmm. He ended that. So when it's crazy who gets to take the blame for stuff and go, but wait a minute, look what this nigga did, though.
He's the one who
really did that. Like, Trump is saying a lot. He say a lot of shit, right? And people could be offended at anything he say. But who's done the most bullshit, though, is the real question. Who is the actual culprit here? So he said a wall was going to get built, too.
And they
were going to pay, and it didn't get built. So he could be saying there's going to be mass deportations. But logistically, it might not even make sense. Because that's my thing is, okay, how do we make it make logistical sense that you're going to do the mass deportation?
They were saying it was going to cost $88 billion to mass deport a million immigrants. So I don't know if that's something
that I don't even be caring about this money shit when they come to that, because they make the fucking money.
Yeah,
so when they be throwing these numbers and shit around, I'll just be like, man, fuck all that shit. They gonna do whatever fucking gotta take to get the money and send it out. This is the same way they sending all this goddamn money to Ukraine and all these other places. So it don't fucking matter.
It do matter.
Nah, it don't matter.
It matters in the talk between government.
I know, not to you. Yeah, not to it don't, because it's not affecting us. The whole point, like you're saying, look,
I'm not getting mad.
The belief is attacking him. He's attaching himself to that belief right now. This is right here in motion. But the whole point is what I'm getting at is they make the money. They throw these numbers out here for us to be talking how we talking. Oh, 88 billion trillion in debt and all this shit. Nigga, no. Nigga, you could eliminate this debt if you wanted to. But at the end of the day, none of that shit be mattering. And I think even when it comes to, like you said, Trump and shit, when shit start trending, majority of people do not care about this fucking election shit. Let's be 100. Majority of people don't. When did y'all ever start caring? Because we never talked about this shit. And then now it's trending. Everybody got something to say about it. So I just think the same way, like, if we all get on one topic and then it goes viral, everybody gets to talking about it. That's exactly what's going on with the election right now. Majority of people don't care. I'm not saying all, but a lot of people do not give a fuck. The moment that shit was over with now, people right back to their regular lives, moving, going like nothing.
Now that I see the tweet, nigga say, yeah, now that the election over, black people, can we get back to black people things? Y'all going half on bills? Who paying for this day?
That's crazy.
Let's get back to what we know. Back to the bullshit.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, shout out my boy right here, man. You feel me? Y'all go get up with my boy. I got to go take the kids out. You feel me? I'm on daddy duties today. Football practice and things like that. Shout out all the fathers out there. Oh, one more topic before we leave. Just real quick, Solomon. We gonna make it quick. Are fathers destined to be the villains of the household? I ask this because as a man, you got to be the disciplinarian. You already get the hate right there. As a man, as a father, you're supposed to earn more money than your woman. So to earn more money, you're going to have to work more hours. So you're going to be hated for not being home as much. And if you do decide to be as home as much, you're not going to make as much money, which in effect, you'll be hated for not making more money. Mm-hmm. So either way you look at it, the father is like damn near the villain. There's no winning almost in a sense.
I think it depends, bro. Like, I think it depends on the father, really, because a lot of times mom is the villain, right? Like, Kevin Hart had a stand-up comedy show, and he talked about nobody likes when mom comes home. Everybody, when they see mom coming home, is like, she gonna tell you pick your shoes up, you take the meat out, blah, 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 before she even say hi. A lot of times it'd be mom and dad be the cool one, at least in my experience. Pops was cool. Like, was he disciplinary? But it took him less to discipline than her. So I always looked at mother as more of the animated one. You can't do this, you can't do that. Pops was more the one who had the foresight and understanding to be like, well, I went to the football game, right? Or I did this and that, so let them do it. He was always the voice of reason, but he still had that sternness about him where it was like, he doesn't have to do as much to discipline me. So father was never the villain for me because he just put shit in perspective. But it depends, right? Like, it really depends on your situation. But I don't think the father is always the villain. I just think it's how the relationship is between the household and the kids.
Nah, that's facts. Yeah, that's facts.
Because to me, the father is the superhero for all of those reasons. Mm-hmm. Like how I looked at my father and how my kids look at me, it's almost like because I got less access to you, you're more precious.
Mm-hmm.
So I treat my time with you or seeing you, et cetera, more. I see mom, like you said, mom sometimes gets
flustered,
kind of just like, and but also like mistreated sometimes. So I'd be having to get on the kids like, man, don't deal with mama like that. But they just feel like, man, mom is just here. Like, she's always going to be here. Mm. She's readily available. You be doing things, or even my kids, they get to the point sometimes where they don't even want to bother me at all. I'd be having to be like, man, come on, you was hungry. Like, you could have said something. You know what I'm saying? But like, I'd be like, well, you know, your work is so important. Like, whatever you're doing, I'm like, but you could have said something. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, but to me, for the, all the same reasons, the perspective for me is really a superhero instead of a villain.
I agree. But what made me ask that was, you know, the explosion of the red pill. You got all these females with these daddy issues, and a lot of them had good dads, especially if you listen to Kevin Samuels' pod. A lot of these women, when they were describing their father, you're like, what the fuck? He was a hell of a dad. And she's like, oh, he wasn't there for me. And you're like, hold on, bro was really out making money to so you could live the life that you want to live. Mm. So that what made me think, like, damn, he did everything right, and she still hated him.
Yeah, and that can be, again, to perspective. You never know what mom's putting in their ear, right? You never know how they're looking at mom react to pops not being around. So that can also pass down some spiteful feelings from you as a child. If you see your mom suffering, and even if you don't know everything when you're a kid. So when you get older, pops or mom, they sit you down, they tell you more things in depth. But if you a kid and you see mom here 12 hours a day and you don't see pop, you might start to breed some sort of dislike for pop, because you're like, why are you letting mom just struggle? Even though he's outside working 12 hours a day, you might not know that and understand it until later on when it's already separated.
And for anybody who co-parents, especially in today's age, you had to deal with that, with the mom saying something about the dad. And there used to be an old saying, you know, when they grow up, they're going to see who was the good and the bad. Fuck that.
A lot of times, yeah.
Let them know right now, real raw and uncut. Listen, this is what it is. Show them the facts, the proof, and let them decide on their own. All that waiting until they grown, because I've seen that happen too many times. I mean, look at Pac. He made a whole song about his dad. Come to find out, moms was lying the whole fucking time. Yeah. So it's like, that's kind of fucked up on a kid, because if you knew this truth the whole time and I'm grown now and we having serious talks, you're like, look, man, blah, say blah was a lie the whole time. I just couldn't tell you. Now I'm looking at you crazy. Like, why would you let me believe a lie?
I think sometimes, though, you still got to separate the feelings of the relationship between the mama and the father versus with the kids, because you can sit there and do all that and they can start to resent you for it, because it's like, nigga, that's still my mama at the end of the day. That's still my daddy, and you sitting here just grilling them, but I have a different feeling for them. I don't give a fuck. My mama could have not had nothing, and I'm still going to love her the same way, regardless if I'm getting everything from her or not. So sometimes I think you got to be able to separate that, and once you separate that, allow the kids to see, because the shit that you're doing, they know what you're doing for them. It don't have to be like, yeah, I'm doing this, doing that, doing that. They understand, you know what I'm saying, especially as they grow, and you let them have – you lace them, but them still have the individual choice to understand who's what and who's who.
And I think the pops is the villain. I think the pops is the villain, or is appears to be the villain so much, because a lot of times they just don't say nothing, bro. They don't say nothing until you get older, because they don't want that confusion within the kid's life. You with mom, you live with mom, you see me here. It is what it is. Like, it's something that I can't explain to you at the moment, or I feel like I can't. So I feel like a lot of times that's why they do get the villain mark or title, is because they wait. They don't say nothing. They understand, I think, the relationship between mother and child, and they just kind of let it rock out, whatever it's be. And they feel like,
that's why I'm saying, speak on it, because I've seen men do this time and time again, where even myself have been victim of doing that and regretting it later. Like, nah, that's not the way, bro.
Because
kids, even though we believe, oh, you know, they'll see, we forget they're still kids and they're easily programmable. Mm-hmm. And this is moms.
Yeah.
Moms love me. Moms wouldn't lie to me. So everything she's saying, kids are going to take that for face value. You feel me? Especially if they live with moms.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if y'all kids live with you or not, but most of the times they live with the mom. So the mom has the most influence on their mental being. You know what I'm saying? So if she talking shit about pops every chance she get, even though pops is a hell of a man, you're going to grow up thinking your pops ain't shit based off what your mom said.
So yeah. You got to check that. That's something that I seen, like, my mom, both when they was together and then after they divorced, she would try it, and my pops would check that shit at the door.
At the door.
Like, period. Like, nah, nigga. We not even letting, I'm not
go
even
the
letting that thought fester your mind. You know what I'm saying?
Even to an extent, I can see on a level to where like I say, if you deal with your kids, don't talk shit about one, but lace them. Like, if this occurs, then you don't need to listen to that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If I'm not around in the room, I don't need to be discussed, and vice versa. And you don't do the same with them. So I think that's a different perspective on it.
The problem is
don't trash. I'm not saying trash talk mom,
that's a fact,
but.
Yeah.
If you go through the phone, go through the text, and you see, oh, yeah, dad, whoop, and you know it's a lie, mm-hmm. like, check that shit at the door, like he said, because that'll sit on their mind, and you wondering why they walk around the house with an attitude. Moms done filled their head with a bunch of bullshit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a fact.
Exactly, because I just seen a clip go viral. Matter of fact, this woman wind up calling the police on her baby daddy. He kind of picked the kids up.
Mm.
So police finna arrest, bro, because she talking about he assaulted me, blah, blah, blah. He like, hold on, man. He recorded the whole interaction. She talking crazy to bro, not giving him the kids.
Is that the one he was in the house?
No, I don't know. No, she come out with the kids, right? So she wind up assaulting him on tape. So the police wind up flipping it and arresting her. But if he wouldn't have had that tape, he was going to jail. Because all a female got to do is say you hit her, and then you got to prove your innocence. Mm-hmm. So thank God he recorded it. She wind up getting arrested in front of the kids and all that. But just think about how many men go through that. The false police calls.
Yeah.
Lies.
It's crazy that people even use kids as a leverage or as something to get back at one another. It's like, them kids is innocent, man. That shit crazy to me.
So shout out all the fathers out there, man. Trust me, I know y'all struggle. I done been down the family court. I done seen them lines and lines and lines of a lot of bitter women, and it's a struggle, man. Do not let them program your kids to hate you. All that, wait till they grow up. Fuck that. You ain't got to bad talk moms, but check that shit at the door like bro said, man. Provide them receipts. Fuck that.
Facts.
Mm. But yeah, man, this was a good one, man. Y'all make sure y'all share, like, subscribe to the channel. Go follow bro. You feel me? Let them know where they can find you at, gang.
Yeah, GRLA Hebrew, man. All platforms, man. YouTube, IG, all that.
Yeah, we up out of here, man. Been another one.
I want to get one shout out to Jazz Rain and, for this merch, man. This money-making mindset. I like that. I think everybody should adopt that. And y'all can go get it at, what's the, Mr. Understand Me, man. So, shout out to y'all. And shout out to all the Viral Way members, man. We finna keep running this shit up.
Shout out to the whole Viral gang, man. Share, like, subscribe to the channel. We out of here. Bang.
Ain't no handouts. I did it from the ground up. In the streets, thuggin' hardest when they found us. Got a problem, nigga. Watch my troopers mount up. My bitches bang, too. And you a lame, though. You niggas ain't outside. Yeah, we came through. You want your lights up, we put you on.